for shedding your precious blood on that cross, that we now have an opportunity to live completely for you. We have set aside our lives to be sacrificially given unto your service. So Lord, we ask you to continue to have your way. Things that we understand, there's things that we don't understand. Help us to learn to walk in the power of you now living inside of us. Renew our spirits, Master. Not to think the way we used to think, but a new way of thinking, a new perspective, a new insight, a new motive, a new desire, a new priority, a new lordship of you being over our life. So Lord, help us. Because our flesh is so contaminated, we don't even want to yield to a holy, righteous God. So help us, Master. Now that we understand that we're heaven bound, now that we understand we have been saved, now let that new life of Christ come and be living on the planet through us. Have your way. So Lord, we ask you to let's use the message this morning that we're not busy looking at other people, but looking at ourselves and what's going on inside of us. Self-examination. So Lord, we ask you to have your way, and we will continue to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray, and the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer say amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you don't mind this morning, stand to your feet this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5 through 8. In your Bible or on your phone or however you have the scriptures before you. I'm reading from the NASB translation, but you read along with me whatever translation that you have. The title of this morning's message is, Examine Yourself. Examine Yourself. Verse 5, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Title of the message this morning, next two words, examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Verse 6, but I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Verse 7. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may be appear unapproved. Verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Title of this morning's message, Examine Yourself.
Yeah.
As you sit here today, as you hear this message, I want you to take a good look at yourself. Don't look over at somebody else. Don't be looking at the person across from you. Don't be looking at the person beside you. Don't even be looking at the person in front of you. You start looking completely at yourself as you listen to this message.
All right.
Examine and reveal what's going on inside of you. Self-test shows you your character. How many see Jesus in your responses? That's already a convicting statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
See, well, as we go through the text today, I want you to do these three points. Point number 5, recognize. In verse number 5, you'll see the word recognize. In verse number 6, you'll see the word realize. In verse 7 and 8, the word is not there, but it's implied because you do what is right. Rely. To trust. All three of those things God is doing every day to see, are you offering him a sacrifice? And sacrifice costs you something.
Yeah.
Every day you show God, the proof is he your Lord. See, self-examination is going to do these things. You might want to write them down. First of all, self-examination shows where your perspective is, how you see things. What's your viewpoint? You see things from God's viewpoint, or are you seeing things from your viewpoint? Second, self-examination reveals your motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it for you completely? Or is Christ going to get some glory out of it? Third, your desires shows your works. Your desires show your works. Next, your priority. Your self-examination reveals your priority. Every day, God looks at your life and he asks, am I first? Am I foremost? And last but not least, God asks you, who's Lord? He knocks on your life every day. Comes down in the cool of your garden of your life and says, who's Lord? You or me? And if you answer anything else other than him, you got a problem. He goes to work. And everything that day is directed on letting you get off the throne. This is some good teaching today. See, 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 5 says, test yourself. Isn't that the first two words say test yourself?
Yeah.
When you test yourself, you're not testing somebody else. You're testing who?
Myself.
What's going on inside of you? Going in how you think, how you feel. And you know what? Let me give you the definition of a test. What is a test? A test is a critical trial to verify proof. Isn't that right? Because I know I've had a bunch of them since I've been in school. And some of them I have been successful, and some of them I have been a complete failure. Why? Because a test reveals what you know. What's the next word we want to pay attention to? Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. That means, title of today's message is examine yourself. What is an examination? Examination is there for you to look a little closer. You're looking real close right now?
Come on.
Are you really looking at seeing what you are like? I said, are you really looking to seeing what you like? And see, when you examine yourself, you're going to do something, and that first R is recognize. What? About yourself. Doesn't the verse say that? Or do you not recognize this about who?
Me.
Whatever it is Jesus perspective first? Is Jesus the motive? Or your desires is to please him? Is he your priority? And is he your Lord? If you fail anything other than Jesus answering the question to all of them, you already got the Holy Spirit at work to show you what you like.
Come on.
Because the Bible says what comes from you is what you like. See, we think the stuff that we put in us, Matthew the 15th chapter, Jesus said in verse 18, it's what comes from you that reveals your character. What comes from you says what you are like. You can deny it. You can say, that ain't me. But God says, the truth is, that's what you really like. If you think spending your time on a computer and on the phone is showing God he is your priority, you're fooling nobody but who?
I said.
See, we can fool ourselves and think we all right. And let me give this review. 5 things we need to know and remember. See, this is going to help you when adversity and problems come in life. 5 things to know and remember. This is just a review. First of all, you need to know and remember that God is sovereign. See, is God in control?
Yeah.
If you don't sell this issue, you're going to think Satan is winning. Psalms 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has established his thrones in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all.
Yeah.
Is God in control?
He's in.
See, when problems come, don't think that Satan is running this show. Second, let it sink into your spirits to know and remember God is good. Is God good?
Amen.
Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord because he's what?
He's good.
He's good. And his loving kindness is everlasting. His mercy never stops. So you tell a lot about yourself when you don't understand God is good. Third, God loves you. Do you really believe God loves you?
Amen.
You say, if God loved me, he wouldn't burn my house down. If God loved me, he wouldn't allow that adversity to happen. That's because you don't know God. Romans 5 and 8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us, mm-hmm. that while we were yet sinners, yes, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Do you know God loves you?
Amen.
Fourth, let it sink in your spirit, God desires an intimate relationship with you.
Mm.
How much time do you spend with God?
Mm. Hmm?
How much time are you intimate with him?
Mm.
Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you what?
Rest.
He's not, you can't discover rest until you spend some time with him.
Mm.
And the fifth thing that we need to know and remember, very important, God believes in you,
yeah.
and he's pursuing you.
Mm.
If not, he wouldn't have saved you.
Mm.
He would not have given you an understanding.
Yeah.
Psalms 56 and 9 and Romans 8 and 31 says, this I know, that God is for me.
Mm.
Do you know God is for you?
Lord.
I say, do you know that God is for you?
Lord.
Do you believe that God is for you?
Mm, yes.
So let's go back to the text in Corinthians, the 13th chapter.
Mm.
He says the first thing we need to do is to recognize.
Mm.
Do you recognize that Jesus shed his blood personally for you?
Mm.
See, when you don't recognize that Jesus died for you, then you're not seeing things from the right viewpoint. It all starts with your perspective.
Mm.
How are you seeing things?
Mm.
You were a wretch in your fallen sinful nature, and God chose before you understood to save you.
Yeah.
Have you recognized that?
Oh,
you were his enemy.
Yeah.
Cussing him out.
Uh-oh.
Raising a fist at him, telling him, why are you going through this?
Mm.
Have you recognized that?
Mm.
See what verse 5 says?
Mm.
Or do you not recognize this about who?
Me.
About who?
Me.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Have you recognized that Jesus died for you when you were his enemy?
Mm.
You say, I didn't know I was God's enemy. That's the problem. You didn't recognize it. But he finally gave you that understanding. And we talked about last week, God is the one that gave you that understanding. God the Father gave you the understanding about who his son is.
Yeah.
Did he do that with Peter?
Amen.
The Lord told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. And if you are saved, that same revelation has been given to you by God the Father,
yes.
to see the importance of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand who he is? See, the 1 John chapter 5 says, he who has the son has the life. What is the life? The very character of Christ Jesus. Now is living inside of you.
Mm.
So the second point is, have you realized it?
Mm.
Have you realized it?
Mm.
When you realize Jesus Christ is now living in you, you are in agreement with the truth.
Yeah.
When you think, well, I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven, then you are agreeing with a lie, because Jesus said he is the truth.
Yeah.
Look what it says in verse 6. But I trust you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test.
Mm-hmm.
Have you realized it yet?
Come on.
What does realization mean? That means it shows you how you think.
Yeah.
Reality hits. I'm on my way to heaven. Can't nothing change that.
That's it. That's it.
Why? Because that's what Jesus say I am. That's what God the Father say I am. And I got the proof of the Holy Spirit in me to verify
it. Yeah.
You tell God every day,
mm-hmm.
he's you, what you think.
Yeah.
You can fool people,
mm-hmm.
but you can't fool him.
Come on.
See,
yeah.
your actions will show you really understand what he has done for you,
yeah.
by how you respond.
That's it.
You don't think it's important to read God's word?
Mm.
You're showing him what's important to you, and you're showing him what's real to you.
Mm.
A good sign and good proof, I ran across this, says suffering with pain in his back, a man told his relative that a well-respected doctor was treating him. And his relative asked the name of the doctor. On hearing it, he says, I never heard of him. That's a good sign. And the relative said, that's a good sign. He says, why? Because I'm in the medical malpractice. I'm a medical malpractice attorney. So I never heard of him. That's good. See, when there's going to be a level of evidence of what you understand by how you act.
Yeah.
If you know Jesus is your Lord, that means you're going to what?
Mm.
Respond accordingly. And you will be doing what he asks you to do. And that's going to be a degree of proof. Let me go over the list again. Self-examination will reveal, first of all, your perspective. How you see things. And if you don't see things the way God say you ought to see things, then you're going to have a wrong perspective. Second, God say self-examination is going to reveal your motive. Do you know why you really did that? Come on. So you need to ask yourself every time you do something, why did I do that? And let me help you out. If it don't go back to why Christ is now on your heart, you done came up with the wrong answer. And you done come up with the wrong thinking. Why did you do that? Why do you accelerate that car in front of that car when you know you could have slowed down and let them get in front of you? Now this is one of them Holy Spirit things. When you threw that trash out the window, and you know you shouldn't have threw that stuff out there in the trash. You could have waited till you got home or waited till you got to a trash can, but you tossed it out. Now y'all think the pastor, I don't know what you've been doing, but the Holy Spirit already know who you are.
Amen.
All them chicken bones or whatever it is you threw out the window.
Amen.
I'm throwing those apple seeds out there to make sure a tree grow. See, God already know your motive. Do you know your motive? And what's the next thing God's going to show you? Where your desires are. Are your desires his desires? Are your desires what he wants for you? You see a lot about what's going on inside of you by your desires. Do you really want God, what God wants for you? And what does God want you? He wants the best of his son to be lived out through you. And how many people go to church and never discover that? They still think it's about me, myself, and I. And it's all about the Savior that's inside of you. What's the next thing it shows you? Where your priorities are. What's really first to you? Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Then all these things will be what?
Added.
But what we want to do is we want to reverse that.
Yeah.
We want all these things and then we want God to
seek
God. God said, don't work that way. You got to prioritize me. You show God everything, every day. What's first? What's first? Which leads us to the last point that God's doing every day in your life. Who's your Lord? See, you can be a Christian and on your way to heaven and not let Jesus be your Lord. Do you know that? Too many people that's in the kingdom of God still not had allowed, have not allowed Christ to be their Lord.
Yeah.
If Christ is your Lord, that means he is giving you instructions on everything he wants you to do.
Yeah.
What comes from you reveals your character.
Yeah.
Question about action. A street person asks a person, he says, sir, would you give me $100 for a cup of coffee? And so the man looked at the street person and said, that's ridiculous. And that person replied, and said, just give me a yes or a no, fellow. And said it with a growl. I don't need you to give me a lecture on how to run my business. A lot of us got that same attitude when Jesus saved us. Now we're telling him how we ought to do it. Instead of letting him tell us how he ought to do it. See, when Jesus saved you, he's looking at your reply. See that last R? The reply. Look what it says in verse 7 and verse 8. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Y'all see that? God saved you that you might what? Live holy. Live righteous. Not do anything wrong. When you do wrong, you're telling God, you're not my Lord. Did God save you to keep doing wrong? He says right there. Not that we ourselves may appear approved. See, the world's not going to approve of Jesus being inside of you. So don't worry about trying to please the world. But that you may, underline this in your Bible, do what is right. That ought to be your reply. If God say forgive, I don't care what the world say, I'm going to forgive. If God tell me to read my Bible, I don't care what the world say, I'm going to read my Bible. If God tell me to be patient, are you listening? See, your reply tells what You understand about who he is. And that's showing God you trust him. If God told me to love my enemies, he's looking to see what's my reply, what's coming from me. And let me tell you, when God asks you to do something, he's going to challenge you against your character. In all of our fallen nature, none of us want to forgive somebody completely. And if you say, I want to forgive somebody completely from my feelings, you already done told a lie. Because everybody in here, under the sound of my voice, will draw a line and say, I'll forgive them up until they do this. And at that point, it's going to cost you. Every time you do something, you're showing God what it's costing you. God said, now that's the kind of faith I'm looking for. You're not listening to what the world says. You're not listening to what you feel. You're going to do what I say. And your reply is on Christ and the truth. Doesn't the Bible say in the next verse, you can do nothing against the truth? And so when God says his spirit is in you, you are now listening to the truth. Why? Jesus Christ is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. You don't believe that? Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. Why? Because the Spirit is the truth. God is looking every day of your life to see if his truth is going to come through you. ST number one. You see, when you got saved, God said, I want you to recognize. What? That I have saved you, I have redeemed you, and I'm changing your thinking. Number two, in verse 6, he says, then you realize. That means you agree with the truth. If God says you're on your way to heaven, that's why a lot of people don't understand 1 John. Because 1 John, all through it, it says you know. You know. Doesn't 1 John say you know? So when God says you know, what does that mean? That means we ought to know. Why? What he say we are, not what we feel. Because a lot of times your feelings are the last thing you need to rely on. If God told you to do it, case closed. Don't worry about your feelings. Your feelings will catch up. Because a whole lot of times, Pastor White don't feel like coming down to the church. No less studying and start preparing for a sermon. But guess what? I don't listen to my feelings. I listen to what does God say.
Amen.
If God told me to do it, case closed, it's a good idea for me to be what? Obedient. And when I'm obedient, God takes up and meets the difference. Why? Because it's a lie when I don't do what he says. See, we've been so deceived to think what we're thinking is right. But that's a what? That's a lie. When you don't do what God wants you to do, you're believing a lie. Why? Because Jesus is the what? Jesus is the what?
Truth.
He is the truth. Turn, if you will, I want you to see this right there. St. John 15, chapter verse 26. If anyone does not, and when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, and this is before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of truth. Y'all see that? The Holy Spirit is the truth that now lives inside of you. Who will proceed from the Father, he will testify about who?
Me.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit ain't saying nothing about who he is. His full-time power and task is to reveal Christ to your brain. Christ to your thinking. And when you're doing it Christ's way, you're operating in the truth. Are we teaching this morning?
Amen.
You tell God where you are with it. And you tell God what you understand. See, when you believe God, things start changing in your life. The whole universe and God himself is backing you. It might not look like it, but that's the truth. See, we trust our feelings more than we trust anything else. Turn to St. John chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. St. John chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. Verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's our Lord. And we saw his glory. The disciples and John is saying that. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Notice where these characteristics come from. Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. And the question I'm asking you is, are you operating by grace and truth. Verse 15. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he whom I said, he who come after me is higher ranked than I, for he existed before me." John trying to give a testimony. Verse 16. "For of his fullness we have all received." Now underline that in your Bible. When you got saved, you got all of God inside of you. See what it says? We have received. We have all received what? Grace upon grace. Are you getting what you deserve? I said, are you getting what you deserve? The Bible said the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So you being a sinful creature means God said he need to punish you with death. But he gave you grace. Verse 17. And the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth, realize those two attributes, were realized how? How?
Through
Jesus Christ. So now that you're saved, have you realized your life is now in Christ Jesus? Have you realized that yet? Underline that word realize, because God wants you to what? He wants you to realize. And when you realize it, you will rely on it. I'm going to do what Jesus say. I don't care how I feel. Look what it says in verse 15. Verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father." And NAS translation said, "He has explained him." He has showed us what God looks like. If you want to know what God the Father looked like in all his fullness, look into his Son. Have you recognized that? I say, have you recognized that? I said it last week about a young man sitting at the pastor's table. Pastor was explaining to the young man about how to get saved and how to be on his way to heaven. And so the young man looked at the table and he saw a jar of horseradish. And so he asked the pastor, says, "What is that?" The pastor says, "That's a jar of horseradish." So the young man looked at him and says, "Well, what is horseradish?" The pastor says, "You want to try some?" The young man said, "Yeah." So the pastor gave him a big old tablespoon of horseradish. So after the young man finally got his breath back and could breathe, the young man said, "Pastor, I've met a lot of preachers and a lot of pastors, but you're the first one who gave out a sample of hell." Brothers and sisters, until you get right with God, you're going to keep getting H-E-L-L. Because you're destined for that place to not be right with a holy God. God is showing you every day, am I your Lord? Am I your Lord? So that's why he said, those whom he loved, he chastened. If you belong to Christ, he's chastening you so that your character can change. See, we're too busy caught up on stuff. God's not, now that you have been saved, he's not going to allow you to get to heaven the way you think or the way you act. God's not going to let your mind, your sinful thinking go come into his kingdom. So he's changing you. And who is he changing to be like? His sinless son. Has this sunk in? Let me just give a review. So in your self-examination, what do you see? In your self-examination, is Jesus really your Lord? Have you really trusted him? Do you really know he is your Savior? There's proof every day of your life. God allows situation to show every day of your life, am I really your Savior? And whatever you put first is telling God that's your Lord. I don't know what it is in your life, but that's what the problem is. God said, until you get that out of the position that I'm supposed to be in, I'm going to keep working on you. You wonder why you have adversity going on? Because God's trying to change your character. Just think of how far your character is from Christ's character. Your thinking from his thinking. His ways from your ways. Why? What's the title of today's message?
Examine yourself.
See if you're in the faith. Are you living the way Jesus would have you live, or are you living the way you want to live? You tell God what's first. The Bible says seek ye what?
First.
So it starts with your thinking. Right thinking will result in what?
Right action.
Wrong thinking will result in what?
Wrong action.
So when you start thinking the way Christ would have it done, you're ahead of the game. See, the world don't think this way. Didn't we say it last week in Corinthians, the second chapter? The carnal mind can't even begin. The fleshly mind, the lost person, the natural person, they're thinking it's far removed because they don't have the mind of Christ. Let me get ready to close with knowing. A six-year-old comes crying to his mother because his little sister pulled his hair. And the mother says, don't be angry. The mother says, your sister don't realize that pulling hair hurts. Short after a while later, there was some more crying. And the mother went to investigate. This time it was the sister crying. And the little brother said, now she knows. God is asking you, do you really know who I am? And do you really know what I did for you? When I came down, I died on that cross. God died on that cross for you personally. And have you come to that realization that no one can take your place but a holy God?
Amen.
Because we all sin and come short of the what? The glory of God. Do you realize what God done for you? I say, have you really realized what God done for you? I challenge you today, brothers and sisters, every day, do a self-examination. Test yourself. Am I thinking the way Christ would have me to think? Am I acting the way Christ would have me to act? How many of us see Jesus? How many people see Jesus in your responses every day? Or are you still responding in the flesh?
Come on.
You're still doing what you think it ought to be done. See, when you're responding in the flesh, then you are crucifying Jesus again. Now that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're making Jesus go to the cross again for your sin. When you don't have to let him die again for you. Because he only died how many times?
Once.
You tell him what you believe. And it's a good thing to self-examine yourself. When you examine yourself, you're showing God where your faith is. Let me give a review again. Self-examination reveals, first of all, what you realize as your perspective. Are you really seeing things the way God wants you to see it? When he tells you to love the unlovable and you say, I ain't going to love them, I ain't going to, then you're telling God, I'm going to listen to the lie. Am I helping you? When you tell God, I ain't going to read my Bible, I don't need to know more about you, then you're believing another lie. Because the Bible is the only way you're going to know who about a who? A holy God. God's revelation is wrapped up and tied up what? In his word. If you don't pick this book up and read it daily, then you tell God, I don't know who you are. Did you read your Bible every day? Did you read it once a month? Read it once a year? Then how are you going to know the character of God? If you don't feed yourself from this book, feed yourself from this refrigerator of the word of God, your mind is going to be totally messed up, because I can tell you the TV already got the way you think. See, it's the renewing of your mind by this word. That's the only way God's going to get you. You know, I look back on my life, you know how I began to grow? Even when I was a deacon, when I started getting in God's word. And I'm wondering, why these other deacons ain't getting this stuff? Because they were telling me they ain't in his word. The more you're in God's word, the more you're going to get a revelation of who he is to you. So you ask God every day, Lord, give me a hunger for your word. David said, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after you. How are you going to be thirsty for God and you don't know what he like?
Sure.
You got to get into his word. And you got to read it every day. If you don't read it every day, then you won't know who he is. The Bible says, he that have the Son have the life. Is Jesus in you? Is Jesus in you?
Amen.
Then where's the proof? Are you acting like him? Are you thinking like him? Self-examination is the only way you're going to find out. And let me cut to the chase. If Jesus is not the reason why you're doing what you're doing, then you're already on the wrong point. Am I helping somebody today?
Amen.
See, the beautiful part about it is God's getting you ready for forever. Do you know how long forever is? After 100,000 years go by, you're just getting started. Eternity. So God is changing your character so you can fit the environment you're going to be ready to go to. He's going to let you step over in that sinful way you got of your mind, wanting stuff, being greedy, being selfish, being all preoccupied with who? Me, myself, and I. See, we come into the world with that mentality. But God's trying to change it to be others focused. Behind me is a picture of the cross. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And the horizontal, y'all know what the horizontal is? That stuff goes side to side. It's connected to the what? The vertical. If I'm mistreating people, then guess what? I got a problem with God. And if I have a problem with God, I'm going to have a problem with what? And how do you correct that? Let Christ be seen. That's the sacrifice he's looking every day. And it's going to cost you. Sometimes it means hushing your mouth up. You might want to say something ugly to him. Let that thing die. Don't let it out. Because if you let it out, Jesus said in that 15th chapter, Matthew, you showing what's in you. And I'm going to help you. It's in there. You just need to control, not let it out. Die to self. And start thinking holy. Start thinking righteous. Start thinking godly. So let me get ready to close. What's inside of you? As you leave the sanctuary today, say, Lord, help me see what I'm really like and kill it. Help me kill. Let me mortify my flesh how I want it done. And let your will be done. Didn't John the Baptist say that? I must decrease so that Christ must what?
Increase.
Every day of your life, God wants you to let that happen. And he's showing you my way or your way. My way or your way. I let that person do that to you to see, are you really going to die to self? And a lot of us say, not today. I'll pick you up next week, Lord, but this way I got to get this one. And God says, okay, you haven't learned. Because I'm trying to let you get rid of that forever. And you know how long forever is? Forever means it's never going to be brought up again. I want you to let it sink in. All your sin that you have did to a holy God, God is never going to bring it up again. And you don't believe it. You have wronged a holy God, and now you're going to hold it against some human being. Well, I got it right. You tell me you don't understand. If God said, I ain't going to bring your sin up, and that's another sermon in and of itself, then don't you be bringing up their sin. Because all of us fall short and got some kind of sin. So we ought to respond with what? What did Jesus say? Grace and truth. Jesus was full of what?
Grace
and truth. What is he expecting us to be full of?
Grace
and truth. But a lot of us full of selfishness. And I'm going to get you back if you do something to me. And God said, that ain't true. What I have put inside of you is what the new nature is. And I'm going to kill all that stuff that ain't my son. So I hope you got some out of today's message. Real simple. Title up there again, ST. Examine yourself. Look deep inside of you and see if Christ is really in you. And if he's not there, you need to pray, Lord, let your son rise. Let him be resurrected through me. And that's a picture of the cross that he does every day. He wants to be resurrected through your character. How you think. How you act. How you respond. His life be lived out through you on the planet. And when you allow Christ to have his way, you have a foothold now into eternity. God said, now that's what's going to be seen in my forever. Am I helping you?
Amen.
Are you getting this? And you live in the victory because it's what he has done. So let me open the doors of the church.